Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 51. It can be found on page 830 of the Church Bibles. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant does not know when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, good morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Freddie, and it's a pleasure to open God's word together just now. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as we have sung, we confess that you are Lord. You are exalted at the right hand of God, in glory, King of all the earth. And we acknowledge that as we read your word now, it is you who speaks. Holy Spirit, please minister to our hearts through these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we live our lives, most, if not all of us, are working with some kind of calendar. For the work meetings tomorrow, for the dentist appointment next month that we may or may not miss, or for the family holiday next year that was organized way too far in advance. Most, if not all of us, are working with some kind of calendar as we live our lives. And there are some events in life that merit the countdown. Christmas, weddings, exams, births. The countdown is employed for events that are so significant that we need to think about them days, weeks, or months in advance. 3 weeks until the school holidays. 200 days until Christmas. Often we like the countdown, don't we? There's a sense of comfort in the countdown, especially when it's accompanied by chocolate. We know the event is coming, and we know when it is coming. But what do you do with an event you know will come, but you don't know when? What we're going to be studying from the words of Jesus this morning is his description of a day to come for which we do not have the date or time. A day Jesus refers to as that day, that hour. And that is the return and appearing of Jesus Christ in all his glory. The visible, physical, unmistakable appearance of Jesus. In a couple of sentences, who is Jesus? If you're not familiar with that this morning, he is a man who we believe rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, who is God himself, who is alive today, reigning in heaven, and who will one day return to this world as savior of his people and judge of all evil ever. An event we believe will come, but we don't know when. But how do we know it will come? Well, last week we looked at Jesus' words earlier in this chapter, where he foretells the events of a different day. The judgment that God brought on the people of Judah in around 70 AD as the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. Speaking years before those events, Jesus was flawless in his foretelling of what eventually happened. And so we can be confident if he was right about that, then he is right about what is still to come that we'll look at this morning. Up front, really our goal this morning is to let Jesus inform and shape our understanding of his coming so that we will be ready for it. And we'll spend some time thinking about what that means. I've summarized that outline on the service sheet that you can find in the Bibles you were given. That might be helpful to you as we go. Notice Jesus' first point about what the day of his return will be like. Verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. This is an event that is coming, but we do not know when. But it's more emphatic than that, isn't it? In fact, Jesus says, the date and time of the most significant day in human history is unknown to all but God the Father. Just as there is no predicting the date and time down here on earth, there's no giant countdown clock in heaven either. There is no shared calendar with the heavenly host. The date and time is unknown. Jesus says, not even the Son knows. According to his human nature, the divine Son does not know. Not to deny his own godness or eternality or equality with the Father, but to make as clear as possible, if there is a sense in which the Son does not know the date and time of his return, how could you or I know? Whether we're aware of it or not, we all have ways of conceptualizing a big idea like the return of Jesus. We maybe know the Bible says this or that. We've heard other people say some other things. And then we throw in all the ideas that films and TV give us as well. But Jesus is so clear, isn't he? That however we systematize what the Bible says about it, we must include in our thinking that the return of Jesus will happen on an unknown and unpredictable date and time. We cannot predict it. We will not see it coming. Think back to January 2020. A couple of scrolls down any news website, there were these stories about some disease spreading in the east side of the world. And then in February, it got really bad in Italy. And then there started to be a bit of a feeling that something might be coming. And then by mid-March 2020, the government announced that we were locking down in the UK. By the time lockdown came, we could kind of see it coming. And with hindsight, you could really see it coming a month or more before it happened. This morning, Jesus is saying with crystal clarity, it will not be like that when he comes. There will not be news stories one day that people living in Sydney or Tokyo have seen someone that may or may not be Jesus. And then a few days later, people in Norway and Kenya are saying the same thing. And before you know it, Jesus is dominating the news and all of our podcast feeds. And then he appears here. The return of Jesus will not be like that. It will be unknown. And verse 37, unexpected. Look there with me. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. We may never have thought much about what life was like for Noah, what was going on in the world at the time. And from how Jesus describes it, it doesn't feel as alien as you might expect, does it? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The syntax is a bit weird for a brochure, but I don't think we would argue with someone who described Morningside or Brunsfield that way on a summery Saturday, would we? The beer gardens are packed. Sainsbury's local has no ice cream left. And there's little bits of confetti in the air from the weddings that have taken place. A beautiful Saturday. And in all of those things, we rightly rejoice with great thanks to the Lord. But Jesus wants us to pause and think about the days of Noah. The people then very much assumed that life would go on as it always had, that the seasons and rhythms of this world would never be interrupted. But when the flood came, it caught many people unaware. And so with when Jesus returns. It will be completely unexpected. Diaries will be filled on that day. Plans will be in place. But on that day, this world, this city, will not be expecting to meet Jesus. He will interrupt the seasons and rhythms we expect to always go on. The timing of his coming will be unknown, unexpected, and it will ultimately divide the world. The day when Jesus appears is not just some unforgettable spectacle, though it will be. It is primarily the moment where the judge and savior of the world enacts his rescue and justice with finality. Let's read Jesus' description, verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. In the last image Jesus used, he got us thinking about the summery Saturday. In this image, it's more the dreary Wednesday, people at work in the field, at the mill, in the office, in the library. Two will be working. And on the day of Jesus' return, their experiences will be vastly different. One will be taken and one left, Jesus says. One will be taken to face the judgment of Jesus. And the other will be left to enjoy the new creation with God's people for eternity. The population of the world will be split down the middle, Jesus says. And it will be as stark as two people sitting next to each other in the office or the staff room. One will face Jesus as judge, one will know him as savior. On that day, the world will be ultimately divided. But divided on what basis? On what basis will Jesus divide the world? Well, the testimony of the Bible is that it is surprisingly not based on our performance. It is not based on how good a person we think we are or aren't. But it is based on whether we trust in the perfect performance of Jesus to make us right with God. His life of obedience in our place, his death for sin in our place, his promise of life to come in him. If you're here this morning or listening, as someone who's weighing up whether this is true or not, can I encourage you to keep doing that? From what we've seen this morning, what a person thinks of Jesus is too important a question to let fade away into the background. Read of his life, read of his death, read how he rose from death, and ask God to open your eyes. If you want to think that through with someone, we'd be delighted to make that happen. Come and speak to me at the end or send the office an email. To summarize where we've been, the day Jesus comes back will be unknown, unexpected, and it will ultimately divide the world. As I've been thinking about these verses we've just looked at, I would say I felt quite overwhelmed. Maybe you feel that way, having heard them this morning. Because it just feels really big, doesn't it? And that is an understatement. And I wonder if it's because we hear about this reality that we believe in and feel a bit paralyzed by how we're supposed to respond. It's like that question we started with, what do you do with a day you know will come, but you don't know when? And for many of us, the answer will be, get really stressed. Worry about it. And I think if that's you, Jesus' application to us this morning is really simple and will be good and reassuring for you to hear. But I think it will be good for you to hear too if you've been listening this morning and are conscious that the return of Jesus is not something really on your radar in your life. You know and love Jesus, but the reality of life one day being interrupted by his appearing is not on your mind right now, if you're honest. Wherever you're at this morning, let's hear together Jesus' application in verse 42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." A few years ago in the cinema, I feel like every film seemed to be a heist kind of film. Take your pick, one of the many Ocean's films. There's the one with all the magicians, Fantastic Mr. Fox, if you class that as a heist film. In a good heist film, the owner of the casino, or the art gallery, or the chicken coop, is always set up as having the best, most state-of-the-art security systems in place. Cameras, dogs, lasers. This place is impenetrable, we are led to believe. And that's like minute 30 of the film. But then, after the protagonists have been up to their heisting for a bit, you get that moment in the film where the owner of the casino or the art gallery or the chicken coop gets a phone call. We have no idea how, but all the money's gone. The Mona Lisa is gone. The chickens are gone. Here's Jesus again. If the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Do you see his point? The heist, the robbery, the theft works because the master of the house does not stay awake. And the thief comes at an unknown time. If the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, they would have set their alarm and it would make a rubbish film. A bit like the thief, the return of Jesus will happen at a date and time we do not expect. And so, unlike the master of the house, the owner of the art gallery, we must stay awake and be ready. That is Jesus' core message to us this morning. Verse 44 is verse of the week, the memory verse, if you like. "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." But what does it mean to be ready? Is it a bit like the tennis player on their toes waiting for the serve from the other side of the net? Or like the pro commuter who's right there ready to get onto the train just as the doors open? Is it that kind of readiness? Well, let's start from a slightly different angle. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are ready for his return. In this way, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God has been extinguished against you, borne by the Lord Jesus on the cross in his death. The day the Lord Jesus returns for anyone who is in Christ is the best day of your life. It is where life in a broken world ends. It is where sin ends. It is where death ends. It is where sickness and sadness end. If you are a Christian, you are ready for Jesus to return. But are you expecting it? Do you ever think about it? It may be that in your life, it is not yet something you have budgeted for. You know and trust that at death, you will meet Jesus and you will be safe in him because you know and trust him. but maybe you need to adjust your thinking on life a bit to include the reality that he will one day return and interrupt our diaries and plans. And that is a good thing if we know him. But we don't need to be anxious, just awake. If you're feeling a bit overwhelmed this morning, be reminded that you are ready for Jesus to return if you know and trust him. And that since we cannot know the day of his return, we cannot know the day life will be interrupted, whether it will be in our lifetime or not, we can humbly commit that day into our Heavenly Father's hands, who does know. This week, at some point, it would be a really good thing for all of us to stop and consider when we would least expect the return of Jesus to happen in our life, and have a really good think about what your answer to that would be. And then take a moment to prayerfully prepare your heart for that possibility. Remind yourself that you are safe in Jesus if you know him. And let yourself be gripped by the beauty of glory to come. So that if Jesus were to return really soon, we'd be a bit less surprised. We'd be awake. We'd be ready. And Jesus has given us each other as well. After you've done some thinking yourself, chat about that with someone next Sunday. If you find you've got loads of questions about it, ask them. We're actually on this topic of the return of Jesus for a few weeks, and so it's a good time to be thinking about it together. We don't need to be anxious, just awake. It'd be great to think through if there are little reminders that we can work into our lives to help us remember verse 44. One I'll never forget is someone who, for a time, wrote at the top of their diary every day, "Jesus might come back today." Maybe something like that might help you work this reality into your heart by the Spirit's help. "Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Now, with that truth, Jesus has one more line of application that he draws out for us this morning. And it's aimed at the church leader, at the Bible teacher, at the one ordained as an elder or pastor. And it might feel like quite a strange place to land, with quite a specific group of people in view. But these words assure all of us that just because Jesus hasn't appeared, it does not mean he's not aware of what goes on now in the world. And it's easy to think that, isn't it? But these verses are very clear that when Jesus returns, it's not that he'll come back and ask what's been going on the last 2,000 years. He knows. And for the faithful and committed Christian leader, whose work is sometimes unseen and unappreciated, there is wonderful encouragement in these verses. But on the other side, for the abusive and hypocritical Christian leader, whose private life does not match their public life, there is serious and solemn warning. Verse 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." Jesus addresses the servants that he has set over his household, who he's given responsibility to give them their food at the proper time. And first and foremost, in context, that is the disciples. And I think today these words apply to Christian leaders, Bible teachers, elders. And Jesus' point is that he knows, he sees their labor for him. Chalmers elders, who are shepherding this church in this season, it has not been a straightforward 12 months for you. Know this morning that you are blessed for your faithful and wise shepherding of this church. And that when Jesus returns, you will be rewarded. We thank God for you. As you are obeying Jesus, shepherding his people, there will be blessing for you on the final day. For the Christian leader who is faithfully and wisely laboring for him, Jesus sees, Jesus knows. And on the day of his return, there will be glorious reward in which we will all rejoice. Now, very starkly, Jesus goes on, verse 48. But if that wicked servant says to himself, "My master is delayed," and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the same way that Jesus knows and sees the wise and faithful church leader, he also knows and sees the hypocritical and abusive church leader, the one who lives life as if Jesus will not come back and will not do anything about their behavior. For the church leader engaged in secret hypocrisy and abuse, Jesus offers no assurance that they will be found in him when he returns, but will face his judgment. Just because he hasn't appeared does not mean he's not aware of what goes on now in this world. The sad reality is that instances that Jesus describes do happen, have happened in the UK recently. And as an aside, let me just say that if you ever experience hypocrisy or abuse of a church leader in any church, please do tell someone, because it will be taken seriously. Because Jesus takes it seriously, doesn't he? For the hypocritical and abusive church leader, there will be curse and judgment. For the faithful and wise church leader, there will be blessing and reward. Now, as we draw to a close, it's very clear how solemn and serious those last few verses are, isn't it? But they aren't at odds with the other stuff that we've looked at. In fact, they underline it, that Jesus will return at an hour we do not expect. And so we must be ready and awake for when he comes. And so let's make time this week to prayerfully let our hearts digest these truths with the Spirit's help. One way we'll start doing that is by singing together in a moment. And we're going to sing "On That Day." And it's exactly what Jesus has been talking about. That day, that hour, when he appears in glory. And some of the words of that song say this: "Hallelujah, what a day it will be. For at home with our Lord, our joy is complete. As we run into his arms open wide, we will see our Father who is waiting for us. Let's pray before we sing. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your rescue of us. We praise you for your life in our place, your death in our place, your resurrection that gives us hope of our resurrection. We thank you for your grace towards us, your forgiveness of our sin, and in you the confidence that we can have for that day when you appear to this world in glory. Lord, our hearts tremble at the thought, but Lord, we do so with joy, knowing that we will be found in you because of your kindness to us. Lord, help us to stay awake, to be ready for that day, to prepare our hearts for that day. And we pray by your Spirit you would do that in us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.